This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. Cape Wrath is remote. I mean, really remote. The northwesternmost tip of the island of Great Britain, you don't just end up at Cape Wrath. If you go to Cape Wrath, you definitely mean it. Not surprisingly, given it ends at cliffs nearly 1,000 feet high, where the waters of the Atlantic rampage past the headland, there's a lighthouse at Cape Wrath. It's like the noon of these islands, Cape Wrath, the place where the Big and Little Hand would meet if pointing straight up. It's the start point of the inshore waters shipping forecast too, for the insomniacs, early risers and late to bedders.
Inshore waters of Great Britain and Northern Ireland valid for the following 24 hours, issued at 23:00. The general situation. High pressure over the United Kingdom will maintain settled weather and light winds over the next couple of days. Cape Wrath to Rattray Head, including Orkney. Variable, 4 or less, becoming northwest, 2 to 4 for a time. Fair, good. Rattray Head to Berwick-upon-Tweed, variable, 3 or less, fog patches at 4.
A single track road from the Kyle of Durness takes you out to the Cape Wrath Lighthouse. But you need to take the ferry across it first. It holds 8 people. Then when you reach the lighthouse, about 11 miles winding through boggy moorland, there is a cafe there in the old keeper's cottage, which also, handily enough, holds 8 people. The commissioners of the Northern Lights were undertaking an inspection of the lighthouses under their jurisdiction on their yacht the Pharos, and invited Scott along for the voyage. He was at the height of his fame. The previous year, he'd turned down an invitation from the Prince Regent to become Britain's Poet Laureate. And 3 weeks before the Pharos set off from Leith, his first novel, Waverley, was published to wild acclaim. It came out anonymously. Scott held several public offices, and the writing of novels was seen as a little bit vulgar for a man of his standing. Poetry was fine, to be encouraged even, but novels, well, it just suggested giddy young women getting attacks of the vapours and fainting and stuff. The cruise around the coast and islands of Scotland meant he could be away and oblivious when the reviews came out, in which almost everyone guessed he was the author anyway, and would also provide valuable research material for his epic poem The Lord of the Isles, on which he was working at the time. Leading the voyage was the famed engineer Robert Stevenson, the patriarch of the family that for the next 2 generations would design and build some of Scotland's finest lighthouses. Robert was also the grandfather of Robert Louis Stevenson, who was the black sheep of the family because he didn't go into lighthouses. 5 days after Walter Scott's 43rd birthday, the Pharos approached Cape Wrath, where Stevenson was planning to build a lighthouse. Scott kept a detailed diary of the voyage, so for this week's coastal story, here's his account of Cape Wrath. Before the cafe, before the lighthouse, and more than a century before the first shipping forecast. August 20th, 1814. Sail by 4 in the morning, and by 6:30 are off Cape Wrath. All hands ashore by 7, and no time allowed to breakfast except on beef and biscuit. On this dread cape, so fatal to mariners, it is proposed to build a lighthouse, and Mr. Stevenson has fixed on an advantageous situation. It is a high promontory, with steep sides that go sheer down to the breakers, which lash its feet. There is no landing except in a small creek about a mile and a half to the eastward. There the foam of the sea plays at long bowls with a huge collection of large stones, some of them a ton in weight, but which these fearful billows chuck up and down as a child tosses a ball. The walk from thence to the Cape was over rough, boggy ground, but good sheep pasture. Cape Wrath is a striking point, both from the dignity of its own appearance and from the mental association of it being the extreme cape of Scotland, with reference to the northwest. There is no land in the direct line between this point and America. I saw a pair of large eagles, and if I had the rifle gun might have had a shot, for the birds, when I first saw them, were perched on a rock within about 60 or 70 yards. They are, I suppose, little disturbed here, for they showed no great alarm. After the commissioners and Mr. Stevenson had examined the headland with reference to the site of a lighthouse, we strolled to our boat and came on board between 10 and 11. Get the boat up upon deck and set sail for the Lewis with light winds and a great swell of tide. Pass a rocky islet called Goosler. Here a fine vessel was lately wrecked, all her crew perished but one, who got upon the rocks from the boltsprit and was afterwards brought off. In front of Cape Wrath are some angry breakers, called the Stags. The rocks which occasion them are visible at low water. The country behind Cape Wrath swells in high-sweeping elevations, but without any picturesque or dignified mountainous scenery. But on sailing westward a few miles, particularly after doubling a headland called the Stour of Assint, the coast assumes the true Highland character, being skirted with a succession of picturesque mountains of every variety of height and outline. These are the hills of Rosshire, a waste and thinly peopled district at this extremity of the island. We would willingly have learned the names of the most remarkable, but they are only laid down in the charts by the cant names given them by mariners from their appearance, as the Sugarloaf and so forth. Our breeze now increases and seems steadily favourable, carrying us on with exhilarating rapidity at the rate of 8 knots an hour, with the romantic outline of the mainland under our lee beam, and the dusky shores of the Long Island beginning to appear ahead. We remain on deck long after it is dark, watching the phosphoric effects occasioned or made visible by the rapid motion of the vessel, and enlightening her course with a continued succession of sparks and even flashes of broad light, mingled with the foam which she flings from her bows and head. A risered haddock and to bed. Charming weather all day. Scott later wrote of the voyage that it gave him more pleasure as in any other 6 weeks of my life. Stevenson's lighthouse was completed in 1828 and is still there today, remote, storm-blasted, lonely. The tempest of its name prompting shipping forecast listeners at home to pull the covers tighter around them as the Daily Gazetteer starts its stately progress around the inshore waters.
Variable becoming east or northeast at times, 2 to 4. Fair, moderate or good. Ardnam Welcome Point to Cape Wrath. Northerly or northeasterly, 2 to 4, increasing 5 for a time in north. Mainly fair, good, occasionally poor. Shetland Isles. Northwest, veering northeast later, 3 or 4.
That was a coastal story. I'm Charlie Connolly. For more shipping forecast related tales, don't forget you can buy my book, Attention All Shipping, A Journey Round the Shipping Forecast, from all good retailers, sellers, shillers and panhandlers. These waves were recorded at Deal in the afternoon heat of the 22nd of July, 2021.